Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the podcast. Reacting to a memorable win. Wow. Plenty of thoughts here to get to. I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and counted your blessings. The Denver Nuggets had a game on the road the second night of a back-to-back against the Los Angeles Clippers without Nikola Jokic, without Jamal Murray, without Aaron Gordon, and they won against a fully healthy Clippers team. Now, there's several different ways to look at this, and I'm going to try to consolidate my thoughts here. A lot of times we'll come in here on the podcast and I'll say, like, this will just be a footnote. This is a game in November on a Tuesday that we'll probably forget. We're not going to overreact one way or the other, good or bad, and try to stay measured here with our conversations on the Mile High Hoops podcast, but also, be willing to be in the moment as well and try to find that line. This is not the win on Monday night is not one of those games that will get lost in the shuffle. Not for me. I will remember this game sharply for the rest of this season and onward, okay? And I can't say that about too many regular season Nuggets games in the month of November. I just can't. Been doing this for too long, for too many seasons. But wins like this stick out because it speaks to the culture of the Denver Nuggets. And if you listen to my radio show, which is now The Drive with Philip Lindsay, from 2 to 6 on The Fan, I have been using the Nuggets as a almost cultural post to weigh things up against, because what they have built in Denver, what Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and then, you know, even in Aaron Gordon, what they have built is so unique in general, but it's especially unique to the NBA, okay? For all the reasons that you already know to be true. All right, but it gets put into a microcosm form, this microcosm, something small that represents something larger. On paper, this is just a regular season win against an opponent that the Denver Nuggets absolutely own. They freaking own the Clippers, okay? They own them, and I have the stats here. Where is that? I had it in my notes what their record is since the bubble, and where is that? Okay, here it is. The Nuggets have won 8 straight against the Clippers and are 14-2 against the Clippers since falling behind 3-1 in the bubble second round. Okay, they have dominated this opponent. But when you talk about not having your best player, not having your second best player, and not having your third best player, and you're going against a team that has 4 healthy Hall of Fame caliber players, they know how one-sided this has been. They also had won 4 or 5 games, the Clippers had. So with all that being said, to go in there with Justin Holiday, Michael Porter Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Reggie Jackson, and KCP, along with the bench, who was Strother and Najee and Watson, all contributed. It's one of these things that I just kind of want to marvel at. I just kind of want to marvel at it. And very rarely am I personally happy for a professional athlete. And I want to make sure you hear that the right way. Like these guys get paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to play a kid's game. I'm very typically unsympathetic or overly joyed personally, like where my day is improved by a pro athlete's performance. But I have a hint of that with DeAndre Jordan and Reggie Jackson. Those guys, I am personally and genuinely happy for those older veteran players who were thrust into a starting and 1A type of role for Reggie and DeAndre. And like, we may never see this again. I just want to be clear. And I don't think we will with DeAndre. I don't think we'll see it ever again with either of these two guys. And that's not a diss. I'm just trying to highlight how rare their performance was in Los Angeles on Monday night. When you're talking about Reggie Jackson going 15 of 19 from the field, guys, that is so unusual. 35 points. The Nuggets outscored the Clippers by 25 points when Reggie Jackson was on the floor. And coming up so big in the fourth, they were down, I think it was 11 going into the fourth. I hope I'm misremembering that. But they won the fourth quarter, guys, by 20 points on their opponent's floor without their first, second, and third best player. They outscored the Clippers 36-16 when the game was on the line. That is a rare example of a manifestation of an excellent culture, the best in the NBA for my money, against maybe the worst in the NBA in Los Angeles. That's why the Nuggets won that game. And it manifests itself by the ball going through the hoop and winning on the scoreboard. But it's so much deeper than that. And the sharp contrast between these two teams' cultures, it was on full display. Full display. But Reggie, and we've talked about Reggie Jackson, I think, for three straight episodes. This may be the third or maybe the fourth, I forget. But, and I had openly stated, I was not a Reggie Jackson fan, okay, prior to his time in Denver. And the way that this guy has assimilated and gone above and beyond from the way he plays the game, is approaching the team first aspect of the game, the way he stayed in Denver throughout the summer to be in the gym here with the younger guys, I am personally happy for Reggie Jackson. And he and DeAndre both doing it against their former teams. We talked about this a week ago, I think, with it was KCP. It was against Detroit, talking about their former teams. And the way that Reggie Jackson gave a middle finger to the Clippers is hysterical, because they left him in their rearview mirror, all right? And that guy was on the freaking buyout market. And there he is back in your barn, busting your butt, as Bones Highland is sitting on the bench watching DMP, coach's decision. How's the bright lights of Los Angeles going for Bones Highland? How is that going? Because you're not even checking into the game, and the guy that they got off the street to replace you is putting 35 on your current team. Take that for data, to quote David Fizdale. Take that for data. I absolutely love it. And DeAndre, this was a game from 2016. 21 points, 13 rebounds. It's absolutely insane. He was a plus 17 when he was out there. This was vintage DeAndre Jordan to a level that, like, we definitely hadn't seen in Denver. But he was also distributing the ball. Like, the guy had 5 assists in the first 3 quarters. Like, just hitting cutters. Like, he, you know, and we've seen this, you know, with front court players that almost like try to assimilate to Jokic's game a little bit. None more famously for me than Mason Plumlee, who would try to squeeze in a coin slot window backdoor once a game that resulted in a turnover or a kick ball. And then once out of every 10 times it would work and give him the license to do it again. DeAndre had a little bit of that. Like, just cut, I'm going to find you. Like, wait, what did DeAndre Jordan just say? So I absolutely freaking love it. And I hope that you are as happy for those guys as I am, because, I mean, DeAndre was he genuinely looked like 2016 DeAndre Jordan, like finishing everything. The two-man game between Reggie Jackson and DeAndre Jordan, it was Jamal Murray and Jokic light. It really was. I mean, DeAndre is finishing alley-oops with one hand, with two hands. In the first half, he had the reverse alley-oop. Like, that was seriously problematic for the Clippers. It really was. And, you know, getting stops in that fourth quarter, Paul George airballing, Paul George hitting the side of the backboard, bringing back memories. I mean, just so freaking funny, man. And, you know, Peyton Watson getting stops in the fourth quarter. You know, Zeke Nnaji didn't shoot it well, didn't shoot it well from the field. But he actually pulled down 7 offensive rebounds and didn't have a single defensive rebound. I'm not going to put it in the machine to find out last time, that's really rare to have 7 total rebounds and all of them be offensive. That's like almost bizarre. But he was fighting like hell on the offensive glass, man, and give him credit. To Reggie Jackson's 13 assists, felt like more than half of them went to DeAndre. But and this has been put out there on social media, and it's 35 for Reggie Jackson, 35 points on 15 of 19 shooting, 78% from the floor with 13 assists and 5 rebounds. It literally hasn't been done since Wilt Chamberlain. So it's one of these like classic not since Wilt stats that has nothing to do with Nikola Jokic, which I didn't have that on my Monday bingo card on November 27th. But there he was, man. I freaking love to see it. And Malone after the game, you know, if you watch the post game stuff, like he was pouring it on these guys and just how special and unique of a win it was. And so, I love it. I absolutely love it. On the heels of the Spurs win, which kind of felt like a get right game, which they really dominated from start to finish against San Antonio on Sunday evening. So second night of a back-to-back on the road where you start at home, go on the road, and now it's full custody over the Clippers. It's full freaking custody. I hate that basketball team, by the way. And you guys know, if you've been listening for a while, like I'm a fan of the game first. Like I love this sport. I loved playing it. I love talking about it. I could do the 4-hour show. I could do the 4-hour show on basketball every single day. And I want to like a lot of these players, like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George specifically. I'm not a Harden guy at all, and certainly not a Russell Westbrook guy. But they are just not a fun team to root for. They feel like front runners. They feel like they've been microwaved as a team. Just they put it together and let's nuke it and let's fast forward the process that for Denver has been so lengthy and with a patience filled. The Clippers are the opposite. Everything that the Nuggets are currently, it's the opposite representation for the Clippers on the total other side of the spectrum. James Harden, 11 points, 3 of 7 shooting. I mean, Paul George, 6 points on 2 of 13 shooting. It's just so wild, man. But we see this, you know, from time to time in the NBA when stars are out and a group is galvanized for a game. If they played the game 2 times in a row, I promise it wouldn't have this result. But for a one-off, guys can get up for it, man. And hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I thought that was a great example of that on Monday night. Michael Porter Jr., I mean, really struggled from the field. Now, he did have 10 rebounds, did have 3 assists. Give him credit for that, all right? Give him credit for that. But 3 of 13 shooting, if you remember how it actually fell, he had 5 points in the first quarter. He went into the fourth quarter with 5 points. Did make a big 3 late, which kind of sealed the victory. And he gets to see one go down, and it's like, okay, perfect. But obviously 8 points, not ideal in a night where you're hoping that guy like steps all the way up from a point production standpoint. There was guys on the bench that scored more than Michael Porter Jr. did in his near 30 minutes. Strother with 9 points. So really, really cool night, really fun night, feel good, soul food, like a comfort food. Night is what I was looking there. Comfort food, not soul food. Although they can be the same. I think that's most of my thoughts on the actual game itself. Oh, it is continuously being reported. Jamal Murray, really close to coming back. Really close. All right, and man, that needs to happen. That needs to happen because it kind of got sticky there for a second, you know, when you're losing 4 or 5 and the only, you know, win tucked into that stretch, you know, a week ago was, you know, beating the worst team in the NBA by a couple points in the Detroit Pistons. So here the Nuggets are. They've strung together consecutive wins. Love to see it. Their next game is against Houston, who they just lost to on the road just a couple days ago. When was that? That was on Friday evening. So they've now lost in Houston twice. All right. They got really, you know, blown out in Houston on Friday night, where Jokic's insane game, I think it was like 38-19-8 or something like that, wasn't good enough. But they get back-to-back wins, get the guys some rest, win a game while the guys are resting is incredible. And we'll see what happens against Houston on Wednesday evening. And then they'll take Thursday off and play Friday in Phoenix in a game that is on ESPN national TV on a Friday night, so everyone can watch and enjoy that. All right, guys, those are my snapshot thoughts coming out of Monday night. I hope you guys are doing absolutely fantastic. The Nuggets, man, I think the theme, I'll just share this on the way out. We were talking about this yesterday on the radio show. If you could boil down this regular season into a theme for Denver, I think a couple things. One, developing the young guys. But even more than that, I think it's about going into the postseason healthy. All right, you got to take care of business to a certain degree in the regular season, for you know, to ensure you're ideally hosting a first round series. But really, the health of this basketball team going into a postseason is, I think, number one on my list. So they still have room to go in that department with Jamal. Right now, the Nuggets are currently the third seed. We're recording this on Tuesday. Is now this season we're recording Tuesdays and Thursdays. They're 12-6. They're a perfect 8-0 at home. They're in the three seed, looking up at only Oklahoma and Minnesota, who has just been marvelous so far in this season through 16 games. They're 12-4. The T-Wolves are so. All right, we're going to leave it there for now, guys. I hope you have a great couple days. We'll check back in on Thursday, reacting to the Rockets game, which will be on Wednesday evening, and looking ahead to the Phoenix game on ESPN on Friday night. And whatever happens at home against the Rockets on Wednesday night, you already know. We're going to be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.